Welcome to Intentional Living Center today, everybody. I'm Dr. Randy Carlson. We're live. We're talking parenting today. We're talking about rebellious children, parenting a rebellious child, a child that, well, you know, it could be communication, it could be disrespect, it could be that they're rebelling against getting their homework done or choosing the wrong friends or bad habits or an attitude in their life. How do you do that? What is it you wrestle with? What's one challenge that you face regularly with your child in this arena or you face for yourself in your response to your child? Today, got some really practical stuff for you, some help on parenting as we go back to our roots here of our ministry to Parent Talk, focusing on rebellious children from Intentional Living.
From the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, welcome to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Our lines are open, 1-888-888-1717. Again, that's 1-888-888-1717. Now, to help you be intentional for your kids, here's Randy.
All right, thank you, Kurt, and we welcome you to the Intentional Living Center today as we go to our roots of parenting, focusing on this topic of rebellious children. Let me just lay it right out at the beginning. If you have a son or daughter that is rebellious, and by the way, this doesn't have to be some big, huge deal, you know, like they're in drugs or in breaking the law. It could go that direction, or they may be there, but you see that heart of rebellion in their life. Let me lay it out. The first thing comes right from the list of intentionals that we've published today is don't overreact. Don't overreact when your child overreacts, because when you do, you both lose. You both lose. Above all, as a parent of a son or daughter that's just sort of getting off the tracks a little bit, you got to stay rock-like. What I mean by that is you just got to be as firm as the North Star. You know, when you see the sky at night, that Northern Star just stays the same. Everything else is moving around in different directions, but the North Star stays where it's supposed to be. And so it is as a parent. I think it's important to be very rock-like. Now, loving, of course, and remember, discipline comes from the root of discipleship or training, and a great deal of consistency. Consistency. We'll talk more about some of the things that can work for you, but if you wrestle with this, or maybe you have a specific question about a son or daughter that's rebellious, you want to know what to do. What do you do? 888-888-1717.
A friend told me one time that she always prayed for her children. Oh, God, please help them resist temptation. But if they can't resist temptation, let them be caught immediately and punished mercifully. And it is amazing how God answers that prayer, to the point where the older kids once said to one of the younger ones, how can you be so stupid? You know that prayer Mom says. And you were caught before you even got home. They were on the phone telling Mom and Dad what you did wrong. Yay, God.
That's a good prayer. God, if I'm not there, I know you are. You take care of it, okay? Hey, when we think about rebellion, we're all rebellious. I mean, let's just face it. It's not like your child's the only rebellious human being on the planet, because at the heart of all of us, we are rebellious people. We rebel against authority. We rebel against God's authority. We rebel against the realities of life. I always get a kick out of these TV commercials that talk about, you know, ageless cosmetics. You know, you put these cosmetics on and you're never going to age. You're always going to look like you're 35, even though you're 70. And they change the lighting, right? I mean, there's that rebellion against the reality of life. Sometimes it's a quiet rebellion. Sometimes it's an open rebellion. But stopping to face the realities of life and helping our children grow up and realize that life is full of good days and bad days and full of choices and consequences. But I will tell you this, it's not always, there's not always a disconnect between a rebellious child and a rebellious parent. Let's just be honest. Kids learn from us. And if they see an element of rebellion or inconsistency or hypocrisy in our life, they pick it up and they play off of it, maybe consciously or unconsciously. So one of the very first things we need to do when we see in the heart of our child something that we don't like is we got to go on the inside of ourselves and ask the question, what is it in my own life that may be contributing to this? That's a hard thing to do, but it's a good thing to do. Okay, Dee's on the line in Arizona with a comment today. Hi, Dee.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
My dog's not barking too loud. yeah, my comment is when kids are acting out, the biggest, most important thing is to be, like you said, a rock and mm-hmm. make sure that they know that no matter what, that you're there standing firm in their court sure. and that they can come to you and they can be heard by you. So you need to listen to them and be quiet. Quit, you know, don't yell. Quit yelling. I'm a yeller from long ago, and I found that it only served to alienate.
So how'd you stop it? How'd you get over that bad habit?
The yelling?
Yeah.
Prayer, counting.
Counting.
just trying to put myself in, to look at her heart, you know, to realize that, you know, she's a person just like I am, and she's hurting so, and that's why she's acting out mm-hmm. and probably needs my love more now than ever, you know, if there could be a more than ever, you know what I mean?
Well, the first thing that we recognize as a parent is we have this battle going on between the sense of responsibility. I'm supposed to be an authority. I'm supposed to be the leader. I'm supposed to be in charge and ill-equipped, by the way. I mean, how many of us have parenting classes before we have kids? It's kind of on-the-job training. But also understanding that these human beings that we have here are not ours. They're God's. We have a stewardship responsibility for a season, for a time to raise them, to nurture them, as the Bible says, to train them up in the way they should go, as Scripture teaches, so when they get older, they follow that unique bent that God has placed in their life. And it's true. You know, we got to have a safe place. Our home needs to be a place that is consistent and rock-like and loving, and the expectations are very clear. At the same time, the child knows they can come and talk. So that's very important. Okay, thank you, Dee. I appreciate your call today. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Now, the question is, though, what do you do? You know, trying to be a good parent, you're taking care of yourself in terms of how you respond, but you still got a kid with a disrespectful attitude. They're not getting their grades done. Some things at work and things that we've done in our parenting teaching over the years is have very clear expectations. What is it you expect? What is it you expect? Does your child know what you expect? Do they know what's expected of them? Are the expectations reasonable? Are they measured? Are they followed up? Is there consistency? Is one time it's okay and the next time it's not? What's a clear expectation? Like, give an example, like homework. Is the expectation that your child will have their homework done before they watch TV or go on their video games or do their social stuff or go out with their friends? Is the expectation that there's a certain grade that they need to stay within? You know, it's a C or B or whatever it is, but there's a certain level of work effort that's going to be put out. Are the expectations clear? I think it's important within a family to have clear expectations, because if you don't, then children will develop their own. Sometimes they're okay, but most of the times not. So as a family, to be intentional, having those clear expectations is huge. Talking parenting today, Rebellious Kids, 888-1717.
This is Steve Tanner with intentional news about our younger generations. You can never start too early to raise your child into one day becoming a responsible adult. But the challenges are huge. Nick Hall is the founder of Pulse Outreach in Minneapolis. He says that kids today have it tougher than previous generations.
Your typical teenager today is having to think through issues and define themselves about things that probably people didn't have to think about until they were 30, 40, 50, or ever at previous times of history.
Hall cites several statistics that show as many as 25% of teenagers struggle with drug or alcohol abuse, and up to 33% have been diagnosed with clinical depression.
This generation is really going through a lot, wrestling through a lot at a very accelerated pace, and they're looking for something to anchor their life. Everything around them is turbulent, and they need something to stand on.
The good news is that God gives them a wonderful foundation on which they can stand. So as you train up your children, this foundation is not only for their eternal benefit, it's what they're looking for anyway, but just may not yet realize it. For Intentional Living, I'm Steve Tanner.
Boy, right on. Thank you, Steve. You know, and he talked about anchoring this idea that in a generation that is so, I don't know, we live in a digital world where nothing seems quite real. We're not anchored like generations in the past where kids would grow up maybe in the country or in a farm where they were grounded to the earth. Today it's, you know, where the most we have is grounding to our, you know, our Twitter account. In fact, I shared a little research study that I read last week about why the millennials in particular have this surge of putting body art. You know, they're getting tattoos. That there's an element of permanency. There's something there that I can express myself and put it on my body, and it's mine. It anchors me around something. And so kids today need that sense of clear, loving, rock-like homes that are, you know, where God is honored, and they're okay. When they close the door, they're okay to be there. Okay, let's go to Karen, who's on the line.
Yes.
With a tough love story. Welcome to the program, Karen.
Hi.
Hi there. What have you been through on this?
I had a son that, as I was raising him, he pushed me to the limit. I said, I thank God that he didn't push me over the edge, but he pushed me to the edge several times. He was involved with some things that got him in trouble with the law, and his father and I stood beside him and supported him through the court system, and he was put on probation for a year, and he followed it. And about a month before his high school graduation, I discovered that he hadn't been telling the truth and that he was again involved with those people.
So well, what'd you do?
I had a talk with him and I said, you know that we have supported you and everything, but one of the things I don't allow in my house, because I was a single parent at the time, is lying. I don't condone the lying at all. I mean, you can come to me with anything and being honest, I'll help you as best that I can. But when you're lying to me, there's no way that I can help you anymore. So I kicked him out of my home.
Wow.
I had other children there, and I wasn't going to show them that it was okay.
Mm-hmm. So you were tough love, tough love. How'd that turn out? What was the result of that?
It was very tough for the next year at least, and we became closer and closer together. He is married now. He has children of his own, and he has thanked me several times for being strict with him, because he said that he can't even imagine where he would have been. But he has been very blessed. His in-laws that he's married into is a very Christian family, excellent role models. And he's become a very good man and a great dad.
That's fantastic. Let me ask you, Karen, quickly, what was the one single thing that was most difficult for you as a mom to throw him out?
Because I knew that, number one, it was going to mess up his graduation, and it took a car away from him, and also it forced him to go live with his father, and I was afraid that he was going to become closer to his dad and further away from me.
Well, you know, Karen, it doesn't always work out that way, but what you did is you looked beyond your own emotions, and I think so often in parenting, instead of parenting what's best for the child, we parent what's best for us. And when it comes to being harsh or punitive or angry or yelling, let's face it, we don't do that for the child's benefit. That's a selfish thing. I mean, we do it for our own benefit. We can't handle it, so you know, we lash out. The tough side of parenting is when we have to do what's the right thing to do, even when we don't want to do it. And of course, as you share, there's that sense of fear. By pushing him away, would I never see him again? Would there be an alienation? Tough love sometimes has to be done. And, you know, God loves us, but he's tough with us too. Scripture says those he loves, he disciplines. He doesn't always rescue us from our own stupidity. We know God loves us and he saves us and he protects us, but sometimes we fall into a pit and you say, God, where are you? Well, he's there, but we haven't quite learned what we need to learn in the pit sometime. So parents, listen, let me just say this before we take a quick break here. If you got a son or daughter that's rebelling and you've had to be tough love with them and you've done it in a healthy way and so on, be careful, parents. Don't always jump in and protect your children from reality. Because maybe God's teaching them something. Maybe there's something going on in their life that's beyond you, that you intervene in the process. Now, you got to know what's age appropriate, and you got to be smart, obviously. I mean, you got to be smart doing this, but with counsel and with good direction, you know, standing firm, being consistent, being rock-like, being loving, planning ahead, focusing on the long term, these are the things that make a difference in being an intentional parent.
Hi there. So my name's Sarah, and after I listened to the program today, I decided my thing that I'm going to do intentionally 40 days to, you know, as soon as I think of an idea, including praising God's name, dancing, or coming up with a song to praise Him, I'm just going to, you know, do it immediately. Or just like as soon as I heard, you know, you guys are doing the match program, you know, and it's in my budget this month to give you guys $20, so that means you're going to match it for $40. And I feel good about that. And I know that God's blessing my life because I've been giving back more, and I feel like He's giving me back more. It's kind of like the random acts of kindness. God just, He's always there for you. He's got your back, and you do what you can for others.
Thank you. Hey, by the way, when you hear a story like that, real people who have been impacted, been encouraged, have been drawn closer to Christ as a result of the support of people around the country keeping the radio ministry going and the Intentional Living Outreach, thank you for doing that. And Dawn is here from our development team. And Dawn, we launched just a week ago now a special match
right. From
a friend of the ministry who's providing support by matching every gift dollar for dollar, their portion going back into the full ministry and every gift helping us stay on the air here. So the question I think resonating in my mind is, how are we doing on
We're
this?
Doing great. I just checked just before the program started, and we've matched over $25,000.
Isn't that fantastic?
Just a little
That's
bit over $25,000. So we're, you know, 25% of the way through the match after only a week or so. And so that tells me that people are getting excited about the opportunity to really double mm-hmm. the impact of their gift.
And let me share with you, it's the month of June. We're here in the beginning of summertime, and it's a travel time and vacation time and a change of schedule. And it's always a downtime for ministries financially because schedules are changing. And we've come into the summer being down slightly from where we need to be. We've fallen behind a little bit. We set a very clear budget for the year. We try to be very intentional. We do not borrow money to operate. We just don't do that. If it comes in, we use it to further the mission. If it doesn't, we just have to back off. And so we're committed to a plan this year, and we encourage you to budget, and we budget. We encourage you to stay within your means, and we try to stay within our means in managing the funds. So let me just share with you that we've been a little bit behind, and that's why, Dawn, a matching gift right now can be such a huge help to help us catch up and help us move forward for the rest of the summer.
As people get involved, we really see that turnaround coming. And so I hope today, as you're listening and feeling led to give, whether it's $20 or $100, know that gift will be matched when you go online today to theintentionallife.com. Again, theintentionallife.com. Or you can call our ministry center to have your gift matched, 888-888-1717, and just press number 4 to talk to one of our ministry representatives.
Thank you, Dawn. Appreciate it. What do you do with a 19-year-old daughter? You love her, but she's not dressing appropriately. How do you handle that? Give me 3 minutes to think about it.
Our lines are still open. 1-888-1717. You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Andy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible entirely by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. Coming up, Dr. Randy's got more to help you be intentional for your kids. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
If you love a good BOGO deal, that's buy one, get one free, then you'll understand why we're so excited about the huge GOMO deal happening right now at the Intentional Living Center. It's your chance to give one and match one with your support this month. Through the generosity of one of our listeners, we're able to match your gift dollar for dollar and double the impact of intentional living, up to $100,000, helping us reach even more people with the message of hope in Christ. So GOMO, give one, match one, when you visit theintentionallife.com to support the Intentional Living Center.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Andy Carlson. Hey, have you joined our Facebook family yet? You know, it's a great place to find encouragement, to be with people who are going through the same stuff you are, and who want to live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. So join today at theintentionallife.com/Facebook. Randy.
All right. Thank you much, Kurt. Speaking of Facebook, when you stop by there, we'd love to hear what's going on in your life and joining the discussion. We're reviewing this all the time. My wife and I are reading them and dropping in from time to time, and our staff are interacting. We'd love to hear from you. And many of you probably received, I don't know, a couple months ago, we love to post some of these little photographs with some sayings that just really encourage you or scripture. And we put one up that says, Father, lead me because I, what does it say? Lead me because I can't do this on my own. Last check, it was over how many? 12 million? 16 or 17 million people have been reached by that. Anyway, go to theintentionallife.com. Talking about rebellious kids today, Cindy, how are you today?
Yes, I'm good.
You don't like the way your daughter's dressing, huh?
No, and unfortunately I've had to tell her about this, and she's even more rebellious because of it, and I offered to buy her clothes, and money to buy clothes, and she doesn't want anything to do with it. She says if people don't like the way I dress, it's their problem, not mine. So
that's partly true. How old is she?
She's 19 and a senior in high school.
So she's living home.
Starting her senior. She lives with her father. Yeah, she lived with me till she was about 10. And then she's lived with him ever since, and he doesn't care what she wears.
Well,
that's very frustrating.
Part of it, Cindy, is she's living with Dad. There's obviously been, a divorce between the two of you?
Yes.
And
yes.
So is she angry at you? Is that why she chose to live with
Dad?
A lot, yes.
Yeah,
so she chose to live with... All right, so your influence on a scale of 1 to 10 is probably pretty low.
Yes.
And so trying to get her to change her behavior, or preaching at her or offering money so she can dress the way you think she should, it just bolsters her own attitude of, you know, mom's a problem.
Right.
And so I'd back off, Cindy. You've expressed yourself. I'd pray for her. Pray for her. And I'd back off, and I'd love on her, and I would never bring up the clothes again. You don't have a right to do that in terms of her mind. You do as a parent, but she doesn't give you permission to do so. Here's the problem. When you lose influence, remember, leadership is influence. And it's not title. It's not mom. Just because a person's a mom doesn't make them a leader, or a dad make them a leader. That's a title. There's a lot of people that have titles, but they have no leadership influence in another person's life. And right now, you have very little influence in their life, especially with Dad saying, I don't care how she dresses. And so I'd get off of this. I really would. I would just love on her. I'd pray for her. I'd try to find areas of in common with her. I would do things with her when you can to let her know that you love her unconditionally. And I wouldn't bring up the dress again, because you've already said it. What's unfortunate is Dad needs to be the one to tell the 19-year-old daughter how men respond to a woman who's dressed inappropriately, and what goes on in the mind and the heart and desires of a man when they see a woman not dressed right or appropriately. And I don't think women quite fully understand that, or they do and they take advantage of it. But it'll bite them, and unfortunately it affects men and how men think, and that's too bad. But, you know, to be just real candid with you, you've got a daughter who's not dressing the way you think you should, and you have no influence to change it.
Right.
And so I would really focus on the areas where you have things in common with her, and you can love on her, and I'd get off this topic.
Right. Yeah. It's hard.
Sure.
But, Her boyfriend's mom is somewhat of an influence. She will say, oh, you're not wearing that to dinner. I will go and get you something. She's bought her some appropriate clothing, but she's the only one who will allow her to buy things for her.
All right, then maybe there's the influence. It's the boyfriend's mom who's smart enough to know what's happening to her son, and she may be concerned about her son with a girl who doesn't have higher esteem of herself. I don't know. But I'll tell you what, the only person that has the people that have influence are the only people that are going to have impact in another person's life. People without influence are powerless as far as influencing another person. What they can do is influence another person by what they do in their own life. There's where the influence comes from. That is really being intentional with what I think with a rebellious son or daughter.
Hi, Dr. Randy. I just wanted to leave my comment about how I have been intentional in my role as a mother. Since my children have been young, they're now 15 and 13, every time we have a discussion or things just don't seem to be going the way that I think they should, I stop for a minute and I try to remind myself and remember what it was like to be the age that they are now. And when I put myself in their shoes and empathize with what they're going through and the pressure that's on them, it really helps me to focus as a mother on what I can do then to reach them in the place they're at and bring them forward in God in the way that we're trying to walk our lives. Thank you so much for listening to me, and we love your show. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Thank you. I love doing this show, and I'll tell you why, because of you. Because you guys share the wisdom of your own real-time, boots-on-the-ground experience right there in your life, and I appreciate you taking time to do that. You know, we got an upcoming program here, which is going to be really practical. You have not turned on a Christian radio program that talks about marriage or parenting, and you've not heard, you can't change them, so don't try. You're married to a person, you can't change them, so stop trying, right? That's the message we all give. So we're going to take that and then complete it with this thought and ask you to call in and participate in an upcoming program. So what do I do? If I can't change them, what am I to do? Because it's still a problem. That's what we're going to wrap our minds around an upcoming program from Intentional Living. I'm Randy Carlson. Thanks for your prayers. Thank you for your support. God bless you. Have a great day. We'll see you next time from the Intentional Living Center.